Sharp Money, Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher on a Sunday, Week 15 NFL. We'll close with Sunday night with Dallas hosting Minnesota. Look, I'm headed home for the holidays. I'm guessing many of you are going to be spending your holidays with your family, which is good. And if you want to bet smarter this holiday season, because there's only so much family you can handle, like Mike Somich, VSiN has the perfect gift for you. Of course, $79 through May 1st. That's the holiday special. First one we've ever done. It gives you everything. Daily best bets from the VSiN hosts and guests. Real-time betting splits, DraftKings and Circa. AI-powered prop tools. 24/7 video. Complete coverage of every sport that goes through March Madness. The NFL Draft. The Masters. You get everything we offer for $79. That's the holiday special. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe and unwrap your betting edge today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Ho, 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 Mike Somich. What up?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, Patrick. Not too much. It's not just people that are headed home for the holidays. A couple NFL teams officially headed home for the holidays here, as they will not be making the playoff. And what was, I'm not going to say a tragic day, but the by far the most injury-defined week that we have had so far in the NFL. It just felt like there was a period during those afternoon games where every play somebody who mattered was going down, and it was not fun to be on air during that stretch.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, doing Ready, Set, Bet, of course, Mike Somich. I was going to say, there are some fan bases that would disagree about it not being tragic. As we run the board, we will attack those injuries and teams that were tenuous coming in. Some have been eliminated, and some are teetering, to say the least. 4:55, Mike, we start there. Arizona was at Houston. Houston was laying 10. And Houston, who we keep talking about being a wagon, continue. It's a 40-20 winner over the Cardinal.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud able to go for 260, easy eclipses his passing total. I'm upset that we let the Houston under get in our way of our Arizona overtrend because, oh, man, Arizona can really move the football against anybody. They also cannot stop anything. As we saw Houston put up 40, they looked like they were just moving the ball at will. Pretty good game from McBride, from Wilson, the key players on the Cardinals offense that we can see and consistently move it. This game was always in control for the Texans. I don't think we could take too much away from it. I don't want to downgrade the Texans offense because the Cardinals moved the football on them. I like what we're doing from a Texans offensive perspective and how they're able to get Nico Collins involved. He's running slants. He's running goes. He's got a full route tree going on. Schultz playing well for them. Mark's playing well for them. I think this might be, actually, I will rephrase that. I'll come out hot. This is the second best team in the AFC.
Yeah, after what, an 0-3 start?
Yeah, and they lost two games on the final possession as well. Like this could be a team that was competing for the number one seed in the AFC. Instead, because of that start, we have them fighting for a division slash wild card berth.
Yeah, I don't go crazy about the 20 scored by Arizona. Lets a rip against anybody, and they're always playing from behind. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm impressed by Houston. Houston's been on a night. They're in rhythm right now. So let's get to these two coming up. Week 16, of course. 12:21, you've got Atlanta at Arizona. Atlanta's going to lay a point and a half here.
Yeah, but they are, aren't
it's a
they?
Banger.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Atlanta off the Thursday game, which was their first game there. Atlanta beats the Falcons in an unlikely comeback victory there. Can we just take the over, Patrick?
Yes, of course you can.
Feels like just go ahead and
46,
just
45 and a half at DraftKings.
Just lean in to this Cardinals over thing. And trust that the Falcons are going to be able to score some points. Because, like, which defense stops the other? I don't know. I think they both just score.
Well, Houston is being rewarded for playing some pretty tough teams outside of Arizona. Because here comes the Vegas Raiders at home. And Houston, no surprise. I think a look ahead was 11.5. We're all the way up to 14.5. So we passed through that key number.
Three of the final 10 Circa survivors have Houston available. One's got Buffalo. The other six are in a world of hurt. There are no 7-point favorites outside of those two teams this next week. So it's going to be a fascinating survivor week next week, Patrick, starting with this Houston game.
I've never felt more confident for those three remaining contestants. I don't mean this sarcastically. It's an impossibility that the Texans lose to the Raiders. Impossibility.
Wow.
I mean, come on. they're not. Do you know what the Raiders had? Scott Spritzer texted me this today. He said the Raiders average 1.8 yards per play today I was on the couch, and according to my Heart app, I took more forward steps than the Raiders. 1.8 yards per play.
Let's save our Raiders positivity before we talk about that barn burner between the Eagles and the Raiders. Let's save the positivity till then, Patrick.
Well,
this is a Raiders
what?
Football team that's got good things happening.
That is next. 4:57, the Raiders were at Philly. Philly was laying 13. They could have laid 30.5 because they won 31-0 over Vegas. Pete, hang it up, brother. We had a nice run. Hang it up.
Speaking of running, the Eagles liked running the football. They ran 47 times in this game. Cashier Tank Bigsby over 16.5 carries because he got 17. Barkley got 22. Jalen Hurts threw the ball 15 times in this game. They're just playing with their food, man. This is a pathetic Raiders team. They can't do anything on offense. They can't really do much on defense. You have teams that are not implementing their good stuff. They're calling the bad plays against the Raiders and beating them by multiple scores. Also fascinating here, Patrick, Raiders trying to get the number one pick in the draft. They've got the Texans next week. They're going to get waxed.
Yes, sir.
They've got the Giants, who are also 2-12 in 2 weeks. They're clearly worse than the Giants, right? And then they close with the Chiefs, which, oh boy, we'll talk about that one when we get there. I think the Raiders might be the worst team in football. I think they might be worse than the Titans.
Oh, I agree. If the Titans and the Raiders played on a neutral right now, the best quarterback on the field is Cam Ward.
Well, I before this week, every week prior to this one, I would have had the Raiders favorite on a neutral against the Titans.
But not anymore.
I've got to make a decision now.
Life has caught up to these Raiders players, and they realize they're humans, and they're just like, there is nothing to play for except health and playing the position that I'm playing next year. In fact, I don't hate the Titans' offense. Like, it's unimaginative, and there's not a lot of talent. But Cam, he's running around. He's doing some things. We'll get to him coming up in just a bit. Coming up on Saturday, you do, Mike, have Philly going to Washington. Now, Washington we'll get to in a little bit. Dan Quinn will not roll over, and his teams will not roll over. Philly at Washington. We'll talk about what happened on Sunday Night Football at the end. Maybe it doesn't matter as much for Philly as a tease. Philly is laying 5.5 at Washington.
Yeah, let's talk about this when we get to the Washington game.
Okay.
Because I thought that Washington game was fascinating today and kind of adjusted my thoughts on this game moving forward.
4:59, the Jets at Jacksonville. You and I, there haven't been more ardent haters of Jacksonville. I'm not sure we're going to change our mind because the Jets came to town, but here's what we can say, because it is the holiday season, and I just signed up for my VSiN holiday special. You can say that they did what they were supposed to do, Jacksonville, and they were laying 13.5, and they beat up on the Jets 48-20.
Yeah, they opened up a can of whoop-ass. That's what they did. Like, they just took it out on the Jets today, and this was they scored 31 in the first half. It was early to Jacoby Myers. Trevor Lawrence ends up with 5 touchdowns. Etienne gets 3 receiving touchdowns. They didn't run the ball as effectively as they probably could against this Jets defense, but they were able to sling it everywhere. Lawrence 330 with those 5 touchdowns, so plenty of yards as well. The Jets team is just, look, it was a first-year starter in Brady Cook, who was undrafted. He was Missouri's quarterback last year. He throws 3 picks. I mean, this is a game they should win. You got to beat the people in front of you. They did it with style. I don't really like. I'm not like, oh man, Trevor Lawrence, he can now play in big games. I really think Trevor Lawrence is going to step up on the one drive when they absolutely need it. Now it's 48-20. They didn't absolutely need anything in this game, and he balled out. Good on him. Let's see if he can do it in the playoffs.
I will say that they traded for Myers, and he is wide receiver one for them now. So it was a good trade.
It's funny, we talked about Shaheed a lot at the deadline.
Myers is the
best acquisition. He was the best acquisition.
Close.
And it's funny because, like, Cohen was talking about him the other week, and he's like, yeah, he runs good routes and he catches the football. And he's like, I don't have a lot of guys that do that down here. It's like, yeah,
well,
there
Michael
it is.
Thomas
like,
is not not what we thought he was.
No.
Let's say, so you got a big one. Jacksonville is headed to Denver, who we'll talk about, and Denver was 2.5. They were only a look at it, 2.5 hosting Jacksonville. Wow. They're up to 3.5, Denver.
I agree with the move. We'll dive more into it once we get through that Denver game.
Yeah, I do, too. The Jets go to New Orleans, and New Orleans, look, Ed, was 2.5. They're laying 4. They should be laying it. New Orleans is legit.
God, I wish I had the two. And this is one of those where it's like, could I have New Orleans under a field goal?
New Orleans is getting themselves in a position where they're going to have a very high draft pick, but I think they think they have their quarterback.
Well, we'll save it for New Orleans, but that is the real takeaway here. Shucks, I'm not going to say he's a dude, but
he might be a dude.
He's worth seeing what you got for a year.
He's a dude. When it matters, that's when you show you're a dude or not. And when it matters, he's playing well. All right. 461, Cleveland at Chicago. Chicago laid 7.5. They cover that 31-3. It was 10 degrees there. Disgusting. And Chicago, kind of like Jacksonville, they did what they needed to do.
Yeah, this is a game where they just kind of took care of business. We saw Swift go for 98 yards on 18 carries. Manungai added another 33 on 11 carries. Caleb was fine, ends up with 242. I shouldn't say fine. He was pretty good in this game. Luther Burden ends up with his best game of his career so far this season, is 6 for 84. If Isaiah Bond didn't catch two long passes, this would have been a very, very stagnant Cleveland Browns offense. He had 2 for 98, 3 picks for Shador. The weather clearly played a factor in this game, and this was just a situation where the Bears offense was able to run the football, Cleveland's wasn't, and so it makes it very difficult to have sustained success. Chasing a record, Myles Garrett gets a sack and a half. He is now one full sack away from tying the NFL record at 22.5 sacks in a season.
Takeaway regression does not hit. Chicago just keeps on taking the ball over. Could they potentially be headed for all-time territory? They've got like 29 takeaways or something.
I mean, it's got to be close, especially like plus minus.
I'm literally just making that up, but I heard the number today and it just jumped out at me.
Well, they were plus 17 last week, before last week. They did best plus minus. I don't know.
We expect for betters. You expect eventually that to kind of come back to earth with a little regression, and it just does not. It hasn't happened with Chicago. Three more takeaways today. And while you're looking at that, I will say on Saturday, the 20th, you got 103 Green Bay at Chicago. We should probably hold off on talking about this game until we get to Green Bay. Fair?
Fair.
Buffalo goes to Cleveland. Who we'll discuss, they were look ahead at Cleveland 8.5. They're up to 10.5.
Not surprised we've seen that move, considering what happened to Cleveland in Chicago and what Buffalo was able to accomplish.
Well, let's get to Buffalo. 35-21 winner. They covered the 2.5. They were down 21-0, and the Josh Allen show commenced in the second half. Started with the first drive of the second half, and they come all the way back from down 21 points to beat New England 35-31.
Statistically, a very fair game. When you look at first downs and the yardage, just a very even game. It just was odd watching it because New England dominates the first half. Buffalo dominates the second half. New England's only second half touchdown, a long Travion Henderson run where Drake May runs out and is able to block for him. May's stat line looks atrocious. He was just 14 for 23, has an interception, no touchdown, just 155 through the air. I didn't think he was that bad.
Me neither.
I think this stat line looks worse than it was. I don't want to bash Drake May here for his performance. Also, had two touchdowns on the ground. Those are the first two scores for New England. But you said it. I mean, Allen just threw the cape on. He just like, all right, guys, jump on the back. You know, it's Christmas time. There's snow out here. You can ride my cape like a sleigh. I'll just take off and pull you guys down into the finish line. And that's what he did. He was awesome.
Yeah, there's no other way to put it. Like, in the first half, he was average to above average Allen, and if he plays that way, they're going to lose games. If he's exceptional Allen, they'll win football games. And in the second half, he was, you know, he's an all-time great. Anybody who wants to think that's hyperbole, it certainly is not. He's an all-time great.
We talked about this on Saturday on Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and I, too. Like, Cook's rushing number, James Cook, was 85.5. This is a Patriots team that had not been allowing 50-yard rushers week after week after week. It felt like if Cook goes for over 100, if Cook break goes over his 85.5, the Bills win this game. He was useful on the ground, goes 22 for 107, gets two touchdowns as well. This is a complete Bills offense. The defense is not good, but Josh Allen can win you some shootouts when he knows they're coming.
New England next Sunday night at Baltimore. Wow. Baltimore look ahead was 1. Baltimore is now 2.5. Is it Christmas early?
I mean,
am I going to get a 3?
I hope so. The market loves some Lamar Jackson.
I will take those points gladly.
Yes, I will wait for the three, but I don't disagree.
I'll take
with
the
you.
two and a half and still be. I mean, don't, New England's going to beat Baltimore.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I think it's a really interesting game. If New England's able to beat Baltimore, they win the division, and that's that because like their last two games, they have a one game lead now on Buffalo, but they have split in the division. They have the Jets on the road and then the Dolphins at home to close out their season. Two games that are extremely winnable for the New England Patriots as constructed. The Jets should be a cakewalk, and then Miami having to come up there to Foxborough last week with the division, possibly the number one seed in the conference on the line. You got to take care of business. It's this Baltimore game that means everything for New England if they want to win the division, get the one seed.
Speaking of Baltimore, 465, Baltimore 24-0 over Cincy. Baltimore was laying three on the road. They cover it. Maybe more about Cincinnati.
Like Joe Burrow came out this week and caused a whole stir because he said he wasn't having as much fun playing football. I can tell you it was not fun. Joe Burrow playing football in this game.
He didn't look like he was enjoying himself.
Constantly harassed, sacked three times, 10 quarterback hits, an additional five passes that were deflected. Ah, man, it was a rough watch. It was a rough hang. The Bengals get shut out. The two interceptions for Burrow, one was his fault, one was a tip pass. I don't think Lamar looked great. Lamar Jackson went 8 for 12 in this game, Patrick. Yeah. He carried the ball twice. Now, there were carries for 12 and 14 yards, so at least they were productive. But he was also sacked four times, which is very un-Lamar-like as well. I don't think the Ravens are fixed. I think the Bengals are broken.
100%. And the Bengals go to Miami. We still have Miami to discuss. Miami was a pick'em, so that Cincinnati-Miami was sitting at a pick'em, and now Miami's a point and a half after the disaster by Cincinnati.
Interesting, because the Bengals were actually a point and a half midweek last week. So we've seen a three-point move in this game from midweek last week to now. But when you look at it, moving through the ones on either side, not nearly as big of a move as if you go through three, four, six, seven, those type of numbers. So not a huge surprise to see the flip favorites here. We got Miami coming up on Monday night. So we haven't seen the Dolphins yet. What's the reopen total? Where are we sitting on the total side?
Miami's reopen total is 50.5.
I was hoping that would tick down. I'm going to keep an eye on that number. I kind of like the over in that game. All bad right. Cincy defense, not a great Miami offense.
I totally forgot. No buys this week, so let me pick up the pace a little bit. 467, Chargers at Kansas City. There's a lot to this game. The Chargers, Kansas City laid 6. The Chargers won 16-13. Kansas City officially eliminated from playoff contention. The Chargers needed the game, to be fair. They need to keep winning, too. And the big news here is Patrick Mahomes done for the year with an ACL.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes gets hurt trying to bring this team back when they were down 16-13 after throwing a pick in the red zone. This was pretty much this Kansas City season in a nutshell. You miss a field goal, you throw an interception when you're down there, when you have an opportunity to tie the game, then Mahomes gets injured. Like, this is everything that could go wrong for Kansas City has consistently gone wrong here for them. They need to retool in the offseason. Now they're going to miss Mahomes for that entire offseason push, possibly start of the next year as well. This was a Kansas City team that was in control of this game too, Patrick. We were looking at a 13-3 game headed toward the end of the first half.
Late touchdown.
Give up a touchdown. Yep. And that really changed the momentum when it went to 13-10 and the Chargers got the ball out of the half. I don't love this Chargers football team. They're probably a fade down the stretch, still big issues on the offensive line. But the defense is at least a little frisky out there. I don't think they can beat good teams, but I think they can take care of business against bad ones.
Yeah, so Chargers go to Dallas. We just finished up Sunday night. Dallas got beat by Minnesota. So Dallas was 2.5 look ahead. They're 1.5-2. I will be taking the Chargers.
I don't blame you. I'm not going to fire at that one right away. I want to see what we get back or what the Chargers injury report looks like here. But I agree the Chargers would be the lean.
Okay. Next up for Kansas City with, let's see, they go to Tennessee. They're laying 3.5 Gardner Minshew at quarterback. I will be taking Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's no reason for Kansas City that it's over.
I mean, there's less reason for Tennessee.
No, but when you already know it's been over since week one, Kansas City's going to be shell-shocked. This is the first time in 10 years they're not playing for anything.
And they call it the soul crusher game. Today was the soul crusher game for Kansas City in more ways than one. Because I think we all expect Travis Kelce to retire. Mahomes now out for the year. they're going to miss the playoffs this year after being in the Super Bowl the last three. That is as big of a soul crusher as you can get. So I understand your idea, like, hey, if I can get the 3.5 with Tennessee, go for it. I if it's less than three, I might be on Kansas City.
I mean, does Kansas City even play guys? Does Chris Jones play?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't – Chris Jones, we saw Rice get hurt. Worthy got hurt today. They were both in and out of the game. They lost another offensive lineman. I got to see who's actually playing for Kansas City before you can bet it. But I would – now that we talk through it, though, if you want to get a 3.5 with Tennessee in your account now before the injury report comes out, it does make sense because you could see this flip to one, flip to 1.5 if you do see the injury report break poorly for the Chiefs.
One of the all-time greats just tore his ACL. The whole entire week is going to be a morgue in Kansas City leading up to a game that it's not easy to get up for Tennessee. And Tennessee's just like, we're kind of having fun towards the end of the year. I don't know. I'll take the 3.5, but you're right. Get it before it dips. 469, Washington at the Giants. Washington, the Giants were laying 2.5. Washington, an outright winner, 29-21. Felt like Washington was more in control of this game than just an 8-point win. But they do pick up the W. You know, McLaurin's back. I thought Mariota was good. Like I said, Washington's not going to roll over.
First off, got to shout out Matt Deutsch, the producer, took his son to this game. His son's first NFL game. Sat upper tank to watch the Giants in the freezing cold.
I mean, he's starting the kid early. He's incredible. Taking him to that antiseptic dump they call MetLife. his poor son. They enjoyed it, though. A lot of points.
It was a fun game. It was fun. It was a fun game. I mean, you get the Giants touchdown there in the second quarter, so they can at least be happy with that. The kick return really changed this football game. It felt like this was going to be a much closer game than it was. We were sitting at a 13-7 score, and all of a sudden the Commanders take a punt back. That really flipped this toward the Commander side. Felt like the Giants were chasing every step of the way after that. They almost came back and won. They get a fumble in the fourth quarter, down 8, when it looked like all was lost. Have an opportunity to come back in this one. End up not able to put it in the end zone. Probably good for their franchise that they didn't score.
Agreed.
You're not looking 100% to win football games right now if you are the Giants. Hey, look, you got a little Winston. Dart looked good. Dart got injured for one play. Maybe protect Dart. Maybe don't go crazy with the Dart stuff here as we close out the season. But this was, it was a football game. I'm not taking a ton out of either of these teams' effort here.
Hopefully the Deutsches threw their hat into the ring for the next head coach of the Giants because they're lost. They don't know what they're doing. Philly heads to Washington. Philly is 5.5. Washington can win this football game. We've seen man. Philly. I mean, they can. Philly
they
is so, hey, we're back. And then, hey, we have internal issues and the offense is just a mess. This is a Saturday game. It's a divisional game. I probably would do nothing with it. But Philly laying 5.5 right now is dubious to me.
Jaden Daniels isn't going to play, right?
No.
Okay. We're going to just keep that out of here. Look, this is. You like horse racing.
Of course.
You know of the jockey, Joel Rosario.
Yeah.
I call him the bell curve because you never really know what you're going to get in any specific ride. This Eagles team is kind of like the bell curve.
Yeah,
you're
good
not,
one.
You're not quite positive what you're going to get here in a lot of these football games. Washington played them tight last year, both times. This Washington defense stinks. They were the 32nd ranked defense since week 9 coming into this week. I'm sure they didn't improve too much because the Giants were moving the football against them consistently. I can't lay it. I can't take it with the Commanders here.
Okay, I would say. We'd be more surprised if the Raiders beat Houston than we would if Washington beat Philly. Philly's the defending champs.
Yeah, one is 5, the other is 14. Of course we'd be more surprised.
What do you mean?
The Eagles are 5-point favorites, aren't they?
No, but I'm saying, like, the Eagles, these are the defending champs. Washington's nothing. Well, the Raiders are nothing. They should have the perception of dominance that we're talking about with some of these other teams.
But the line tells you that perception is not out there. For instance, there's one other game that's sitting at, so right now the Eagles are at 6. Next week, the Lions are 6.5-point favorites over the Steelers. Who is more likely to win? The Steelers beat the Lions or the Commanders beat the Eagles?
Are you teaching me sports betting? Is that what you're trying to do here?
I'm just asking.
I can turn this off. Like, I understand the point. I was trying to do a little something different. We shall continue. The Giants, like, you know, what's a point spread?
I'm just saying
Minnesota is at the Giants. Minnesota just picked up a win on Sunday night at Dallas, and they're laying 2.5 at the Giants.
Nine looked better tonight. This is two games in a row. He's played decent. I mean, am I jumping on the J.J. McCarthy train?
Oh, no, that's two good games in a row, for sure.
Yeah. Am I jumping on the J.J. McCarthy train? No. But I'm watching it leave the station. I know I can run it down if I need to, jump on the back of the caboose and just join the trip. Vikings are passed. The defense for the Vikings is the best unit on the field, and the offense has been much better the last couple weeks. They just missed on a couple additional shots tonight, so I like the Vikings.
I like the Vikings there, too. Next up, Indy at Seattle. I mean, there's a lot to talk about here. So Seattle was laying 13, and Indy was in control. In control is a weird way of putting it. They were leading the whole entire football game. a spirited defensive effort from the Colts, a bad Seattle offense for the most part, a lot of drops, weird stuff. Obviously Philip Rivers back. Rivers, you know, just didn't have the arm strength, I guess would be the way to put it, like to push the ball downfield, but he was in control of an offense that he was comfortable with, I guess.
He was literally pushing the ball downfield because it wasn't spinning.
Yeah, per usual. Seattle late winner. Late 50 plus yard field goal to win 18-16. After Indy had kicked a long field goal, they gave them the ball back with 45 seconds. So this was what I'm trying to say is this came right down to the wire. Indy could have won this football game.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely could have won this football game. They kicked that field goal, like you said, with 47 seconds left. They settled for a 60-yarder when their kicker's never made a 60-yarder before. That's how little they believed that they could push the ball downfield through the air against the Seattle Seahawks defense. Seattle able to come back down, get that game-winning field goal. Last gasp there for the Colts, not able to get back into field goal range. Is what would have been like a crazy sequence where we saw three field goals in 47 seconds if we could have seen a Philip Rivers completion there to get them into position. Instead, it was a Seahawks interception. It's funny to me here, Patrick, because the narrative coming out of this game is Seattle is a pretender, that this is a bad football team, that you can't do this against Philip Rivers when you're 13-point favorites, that you have to beat the pulp out of them. I don't love the Seahawks in the playoffs. I think they're going to struggle when they face certain teams. I'm not going to hold this one against them specifically next week. They are playing the Rams in 4 days. That's the game they're preparing for. That's the game they care about. They're a 13-point favorite at home against Old Man River. I'm not surprised we got this type of effort out of them, and they couldn't get margin early. And that was why they were 13-point favorites. If they got up early, this game would have gotten ugly because they couldn't have run the ball with Jonathan Taylor, who got 20-plus carries. They would have had to throw it with Rivers. That's why the spread was as high as it was, because there's a game state where this just is a run out on Seattle's side.
Yeah, but this was first day of school energy for the Colts, first interim head coach bump for the Colts. Like, there's going to be this almost like kinetic energy of like, hey, something new is happening here, and here comes a Hall of Famer, and even if he doesn't play well, we're all going to play a little bit harder, and let's see if we can go win one for him. And that was really the vibe. So no, I don't take anything away from Seattle. I think Seattle kind of fended off a weird situation, and they won it. So I'm not going to kill them. Seattle is opening up week 16, like you mentioned, hosting the Rams, maybe the best game of the year.
And the Rams
are laying a point and a half.
Interesting. Seattle was the favorite on the look ahead by a point. So we got a flip favorite situation here. We'll talk about this one after we talk about the Rams, because some injuries happened in that Rams game.
They did. Colts are, let's see, next Monday night, and they're hosting San Francisco. San Francisco's laying 5.5.
Who's going to play quarter? Is it going to be another Rivers game?
It has to be.
Then give me San Francisco.
Okay.
If Rivers goes, I agree with you. Situationally, this was the bump game. I'm not sure next game is going to be bump. And if it's not Rivers, if it's the rookie, I like the over in this spot. I still think San Francisco's an over team. I do think Riley Leonard has the ability to push the ball downfield better than Phillip Rivers does. And I do think San Francisco can move the football at will against this Colts defense.
Although I will say maybe he was just emotional because it's been 5 years since he played football. Rivers kind of looked like was talking like, hey, I gave it a go and I'll see you later after the game.
I think like, look, it was pure cinema watching him on the screen. There was one play where I think it was Dexter Lawrence. No, who was it? It was their edge. Got in. Was running right toward him, and he just fell over.
He was just old. I mean, he just he was sitting down on the toilet.
He threw a wide receiver screen to Michael Pittman, and it was a duck. Like, how do you, a duck on a wide receiver screen is not something you see in the NFL very often.
All right, again, I got to pick up the pace here. Sharp money, Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. But this one we need to talk about. Green Bay was at Denver. Denver, a 34-26 winner. They do. Denver was catching a point and a half, so it's an outright win. Green Bay, I hate to sound melodramatic, they're going to lose Parsons, they're going to lose Watson, and they've lost their season.
This is a blow to my Packers future tickets that I got before we had Parsons on the team. Look, the Parsons loss is huge. The Watson loss, you could see the difference that he made with him and Reed both out there. And now all of a sudden missing Tucker Kraft, not nearly as big of an issue. They had, I think it was 4 20-yard plays in the first half when everyone was out there and healthy. Now they have to play the Bears on the road for the division. Jordan Love's got to be incredible for this to have any chance because the Packers have three players on their roster have more than two sacks this year. Now two of them are out for the year, and another one has not had one in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
This pass rush is an issue, and the secondary is not great. Probably the end of the Packers season, like you said.
Yeah, they're laying two and a half at Chicago on Saturday, the Packers.
Bear down.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I do. I mean, it's such an this is going to be an emotional week for the Packers. You could tell with the head coach after the game, LaFleur was just like, I mean, he's gutted.
Yeah.
So, and for good reason. Next up, we have, well, first off, let's see. You have coming up next for, what'd I miss it? Oh, Denver. I think we talked about that one, did we not? Jacksonville at Denver. Yeah, Denver's lane 3.5. I'm guessing you like Denver here.
I do. I mean, we got, like, today was Bo Nick's best game of his career. He looked great out there.
Yeah, he looked good. Mobile, confident.
A couple really nice throws into tight windows. Little Jordan Humphrey, the touchdown pass to him was awesome. He's playing well for this team. You had Sutton contribute. You had Franklin contribute. Would like to get a little more of a running game, but we'll see if that can progress. Yeah, it's Broncos or pass for me against the Jags, and what is going to be a massive game, because if the Jags lose, all of a sudden Houston's back in the division conversation, and if the Broncos win, they are really putting the pressure on the rest of the AFC if anyone wants to come get them for the one seed.
All right, tight on time. So we'll roll past Carolina and New Orleans. New Orleans, a 2017 winner. One thing we can say about now all of a sudden Tampa Bay is a big New Orleans fan because Carolina loses that. What we know is the NFC South comes down to two games left between Tampa Bay and Carolina. That's the division.
Chuck's good. That's the other thing we learned. He is.
Yeah, he is very good.
Legitimate NFL quarterback.
And Tampa Bay is at Carolina, and Tampa Bay's laying 2.5.
Probably Bucs or pass for me. Under 3 is Bucs or pass.
I would tend to agree. They're as healthy as they've been. Next up, Detroit at the Rams here. I did not go. I was thinking about going. Rams were laying 6. They do cover it, 41-34. Detroit was in the lead the whole entire game, and you never felt like they were going to win the game. I don't know how to explain that, but the Rams are a better football team. There's just, and the injuries obviously have hurt the Lions, but as currently constructed, the Rams are just a tick better than the Lions.
Yeah, the defense an issue for the Lions. The lack of options in the wide receiver room an issue. You got 164 from Amon-Ra, 134 from Jameson Williams. Your next highest receiving player was Khalif Raymond, who had one catch for 20 yards. Like not having Laporta, not having those additional threats, starting to catch up to this Lions team. The Rams are a truck on offense. Like, Puka goes for 181, Adams goes for 71, Parkinson goes for 75. You got both Corn and Williams go for 70+. The big thing coming out of this game, though, Puka Nacua, injured. Davante Adams, injured. Adams looks like a hamstring. I have not seen the Nacua update. It looked like neck, possibly concussion. If that is a concussion, to Thursday night is going to be a big problem. He did return to the game. We'll see if there's any issues moving forward with it. But you got to keep an eye on both those wide receivers if you're going to bet that Seattle Rams game.
Yeah, I would take Seattle catching a point and a half at home as currently what we know coming out of the Rams game against Detroit, because those are big-time injuries. Okay, the Lions, they get Pittsburgh next week. The Lions are in must-win territory. It's 6.5, 7, maybe a teaser spot with the Lions here?
Yeah, maybe a teaser, maybe an over at 49.5, if how much you trust this Steelers offense. The secondary for the Lions absolutely banged up. I think the Lions are going to be able to move the football up and down the field against the Steelers as constructed defensively.
Okay, we can cruise past Tennessee and San Francisco, 37-24. So Tennessee does cover the number, kind of what we were talking about. San Francisco, next week, they are Monday night at Indy. You mentioned waiting to see what's going to happen with the Indy quarterback position, so we know that. And then Tennessee, we talked about getting a Kansas City team in a weird place for the first time in a decade. And then finally, Minnesota at Dallas. Dallas was in a pretty much must-win situation. And Minnesota, like you said, JJ played really well for the second straight week, a 34-26 winner for Minnesota.
Yeah, JJ was good. And if JJ is good, this team is legitimate. The Dallas Cowboys defense is also atrocious. Like, we're back to bad Dallas. They can stop the run sometimes. And when they do, that's great. But, like, there's still wide receivers running all over the place. Addison 60-plus, Hawkinson 60-plus. Jefferson had 22 yards receiving. Probably should have had a lot more. Ended up with 8 targets. He was open a lot. Got bad George Pickens tonight. 3 catches, 6 targets, 33 yards. You need good George Pickens for this offense to really be humming. You didn't have it. The Cowboys season essentially over. They now need to win out. Philly needs to lose out for them to be able to get the division title.
And a late Quinnen Williams injury.
Yes. So knee to the back of the head.
Make note of that. Probably going to be in concussion protocol. And the Chargers are coming, and Dallas is laying 1.5. I'm telling you right now, I think a little deflated Dallas team. I'll take the Chargers here. And we know they're dealing with injuries as well.
Yeah, that offensive line's banged up, but you have a weakened Cowboys defensive line on the other side, which should kind of help them be able to go there. I wouldn't be shocked if we see a shootout here. I think this Cowboys offense, which is a zone-heavy scheme, that sets up well for CeeDee Lamb. That sets up well for this Cowboys offense to move the football, and I think the Chargers are going to be able to move it all day on the Cowboys.
Okay, Samo, we finish up with your Dolphins, who are they're in the mix. Miami is at Pittsburgh. It's going to be cold. So we know how Tua and that team performs in the cold. Pittsburgh is laying 3. The hook is gone.
Mm-hmm.
We sat here on Thursday together and there were still some hooks out there. Pittsburgh laying 3, hosting Miami tomorrow night. Tonight.
The hook. Yeah, look, this is a Dolphins team that I don't trust enough to bet the 3. The 3.5, you could have talked me into. Now that does not exist, so no point in even mentioning it. I kind of like the under here at 42.5. This is going to be a Miami team that's going to try and establish the run. They've been running with Achane consistently over the last couple weeks, going for over 100 yards. They're going to run outside zone. This is a team that just wants to grind it out on the ground. You go over to the Pittsburgh side. I just don't love this offense with Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be a cold game. Give me the under 42.5.
All right. Don't forget, when you're waking up tomorrow morning, you want to know about Miami and Pittsburgh. Sign up for the newsletter. It's free. Bill AD does a great job. Go to VSiN.com/newsletter. Enter your email address. There is no obligation from you. You get all the information for your betting menu. And as we said at the beginning, the holiday special right now, $79 through May 1st. I would say, as we say goodbye, and we'll come back on Thursday here, Sharp Money. I mean, obviously the theme is potentially season ending injuries for Micah Parsons, Patrick Mahomes, what's Christian Watson. There's just so many names that popped up today, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a bummer of a day from an injury perspective. Like, hopefully we avoid anything serious with Adams. Hopefully we avoid anything serious with Nacua. But it also, like, the other theme, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. Every single division except for 2 is there's a one game or tied division leader.
Right.
It's going to be a fascinating race down to the finish. You've got the Eagles who are up 3 games. You've got the Broncos who are up 2 games. Every other division either tied or 1 game difference.
Okay. On the way out, I'll just simply ask you this question. I'll make you, because we did, but we started a little early, so we had to have just a minute here. I'll make you do this. Ravens in the AFC North are $1.25. The Steelers are +105. You pick.
Ah,
exactly.
Steelers.
Okay. The Bucs are -350. The Panthers are +270.
I mean, Panthers at that price.
Yep. The AFC South, the Jags are -140. Houston's +120.
Houston +120. They went out.
I would agree with that. And the Rams are -160. The Seahawks, they play each other on Thursday, +190.
the Rams.
Yeah, I would agree. All right. That's it.
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah, of course.
Who wins the NFC now? The Packers are out. The Seahawks probably can't win it. We both don't like the Eagles. The Rams, like, I have serious concerns about the
wide
receiver
position.
If the
Rams win Thursday, I hate to do this, but if the Rams win Thursday, it's a shoe-in. I think that's what it comes to. The Rams clinched today. So if they somehow, with these injuries, pick up a win in Seattle on Thursday, they're going to get the one seed.
Yeah.
You know what? The 49ers could get the one seed.
I know. That's the crazy part. They're lingering at 10-4. Like, you're going to have both of those teams into the playoffs. I'm like, hey, every team in the West could make the playoffs, / not Arizona, who's 3-10. Everybody else looking pretty good, though.
Spread the word on Sharp Money wherever you download your podcast. Thank you all for the downloads. Happy holidays. And we shall see you all on Thursday. Talk to you then. Sharp Money.